book table because I believe in good Christian literature which can help us to grow spiritually. One is a good one for evangelism when you have later friends from Bonke. Great stories of miracles, how God is working and men come to know him and see divine intervention in their life. And that's a good book to lend people. That is what I do. I lend people when I do door-to-door work and give them the book, and a month later I go back and ask them, what do you think about it? And then people open up, and then many times you can share the gospel and you don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in their heart. And one is probably one of the greatest writers on prayer alongside Andre Murray is E.M. Bounds on Essential of Prayer. Prayer is the engine of the church. Amen. And of your own life. And one is an amazing book. It's from Rebecca Brown, Unbroken Curses. And that speaks especially to deal when you may be in contact with people which have different bandages, is it through drugs, through alcohol, maybe tampering with their cult or different things. And that gives you some guidelines how to use the word of God to set people free. And each book is £5 for the printing price because we want to get the word of God into people's hands. And can we have the Bible reading straight away? That is in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. You can read from my Bible. It's large print. That's right. Yes. Yes, and it's great from here to here. It's large print.
Okay. Reading from Romans 3, 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law.
Thank you very much. Fantastic. Yes. Can you give everybody a photocopy? Always like to give people. And that is probably one of the most important passages in the whole Bible about the Christian life. And that is the most attacked teaching in the scripture, what is called justification by faith alone. Every false religion denies justification by faith alone. Every false cult or Christian group, and you can see how all the Christian groups can slip away where you meet some people by open air, by outreach, which say, yes, we are justified by faith, but you need to be baptized. You need to keep the Sabbath. You need to do this. And the Bible said very clearly, we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. That means that good deeds is later an outworking. And where many times when you meet, also the Catholics are now also a lot out on evangelism and try to convince you that when you don't have good works, that you need works to earn your way to heaven. Because we as Christians believe the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. That means in the moment we put our trust in Jesus, we stand perfect before God. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. We can only take the free gift which God provided for every individual person only by faith alone. But then the outworking that you truly repented, truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior is a transformation of life. And good works follow, but they're not the cause of your salvation. And where you can see that Romans especially, the book of Romans especially speaks about that we are justified by faith alone, and James speaks more and focus more on that faith without works is not working. You see, can't save you. Because Romans look from a godly viewpoint that we in the moment we trust in Christ, that we are perfect before God, and God sees Jesus, not us. And James focused from men's viewpoint that people see when the person is truly Christian, there need to be good works, a transformation in life. They don't contradict, but then they focus from a different viewpoint. That is what people need to understand. That is what I found on YouTube is from an old Puritan after the Reformation who put it together why there this conflict is between James and Romans. But they have the same message, but their view things from a different viewpoint. That is very important to understand. And when you understand this, you will never shipwreck your faith. Yeah. Never. Yeah. It's impossible. You can be backslidden maybe because you live in sin or disaster is around you, things happen in your life, but you have always this foundation that you know God loves you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Nothing. You can maybe go the wrong direction because you're in the wrong company. Maybe you go through really tough time. Is it people die in the family? Or maybe some disasters happen in your life where you're frustrated and you may be angry in one sense with God, or you can't understand why God allows things. But you have always done this deep foundation where you put your hand on Scripture and say, Lord, I know I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way. He said, when you have only the Spirit, you blow up. When you have only the Word, you dry up. And that is very important because the Spirit will never tell you things or do things which is contrary to Scripture. That's very important. Because the Bible said all Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit and for teaching, for rebuking, to build up the church, and to deal with different issues in our life. And that is the reason why we need to understand all the books, the letters, the teaching letters, have always, like Romans, the first 11 chapters, Romans starts with teaching what we already have in Christ, what it really means to be a Christian. And from chapter 12 to the end is the application. When you believe the right thing, then the other thing will fall into place, the teaching. And the same thing is you have in Ephesians. In Ephesians also, the first chapters, Paul, give clear description, the theology, what we believe, who we are in Christ. And then after chapter 3 is the implication. how to live it out in a very practical way. Well, that is the reason why theology is important, to understand what we believe and why we believe what we believe. That's very important. You see, a lot of Christians don't know why we believe what we believe. They ever follow the flow, but they have no grounding. And that is the reason why we encourage people always to have quiet time, to read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, to get the whole picture. Yeah. And then you understand when you read later things in the Old Testament later or in the New Testament, you understand, oh yeah, that is the reason why. Then we understand what a climax it was when Jesus came, because the Jewish people were prepared. And they knew every year the sin was only covered up. That they had the day of Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, when the sin was covered up, not taken away. And when John the Baptist came and said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Hallelujah.
Everyone knew,
this
is the Messiah. Redemption is accomplished.
Yes.
And that is the reason why Jesus was able to say to the man on the cross, today you're with me in paradise.
Amen.
You see, only when Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, people were able to go into heaven. Before Jesus died on the cross, there was a place the Bible calls in Luke 16, Sheol or Hades. That was a dead kingdom. That was a believer part and a non-believer part. And we read in the story Abram's bosom where safe on one side, you can't come to the other side. But they were still not in that kingdom because they couldn't go to heaven because salvation was only covered up, not accomplished. And when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished in this moment, the Bible said he took captives with him. All the people in the dead kingdom, in Luke 16, went on with Christ into heaven, their soul. That was the first time people were in heaven. And that is where we need to understand by through theology, we can understand the context, what Jesus said.
Amen.
And through theology, we can also understand later, why is Jesus God? Why he needed to be God? Because the Bible said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And one thing is, when any person deny that Jesus Christ is God, he will never go to heaven.
Yeah.
He end up in hell because he have to pay for his own sin. And that is what you have every week when you talk with people. Mm-hmm. Is it with Seventh-day Adventist, with Jehovah's Witness, with Muslims, Mormons, Roman Catholics? You're always, the main thing what they deny, justification by faith alone. Because in the moment, you need to do something to keep your salvation or to earn your salvation. Then Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not perfect. That is the key issue, because then you take the honor away from Christ, because then you later say, I did it. Then you have earned it to heaven. And the Bible said, no one can earn it. We are saved by grace, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that no one boasts himself. And that was the battle cry of the Reformation. That was a great thing what Martin Luther did. He discovered, because he tried to earn his way to heaven, cleaning the street, cleaning the steps in the monastery, and all these kind of things. And he always realized, how much do I need to do to earn salvation? And he was in limbo. And the same thing you have with your Muslim friends, when you ask them, how much do you need to do to be saved? They say, inshallah, I don't know. And they said, you can't do anything. You can only accept the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. And you are blessed today to be in a Bible-believing church, because a lot of churches all over the country, they're not Bible-believing anymore. Anything goes. And we can see what is happening now in the Church of England and other places where everything is allowed except the true gospel. And we need to pray. And because like we had on Thursday also the prayer meeting where all the pastor was sharing, there will be a shaking coming. And when you don't have a firm foundation, when the Bible says here, no other foundation can be laid, which is already Christ Jesus. But what you build on it, the fire of God will test it. Und the firm foundation is really that only Jesus Christ can save us. In the moment you add anything to it, where you meet so many people also there from a charismatic or evangelical background, say, oh, you need to be baptized to be saved. And I said, no, you don't. Baptism is a step of obedience. Amen. What God have already done in your heart, it will not save you. Because the reality is, I said to him, that the reality is you can meet thousands of baptized pagans and they still go to hell. When they don't repent and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible makes it very clear that only Jesus Christ was able to say, it is finished. Only he was able to pay the penalty for our sin. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, we read specially, Christ Jesus died for our sin according to Scripture. He didn't come out of the blue and said, guys, I start a religion like Joseph Smith, Russell from the Jehovah Witness, Mohammed from the Muslims, and now we can see through J. Smith and other great scholars show that Mecca didn't exist in the time of Mohammed, what they claim. You see? They can show that this guy didn't live in this time period, and where a lot of things is now coming out and expose the lie of the devil. Because the reality is anyone, the Bible said, who deny that Jesus Christ is God, deny the Father and the Son, is an antichrist spirit. That is what the Bible said in 1 John. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners from their sin. And when you have a clear understanding like what is this, and understand it, you see, really understand it not only in your mind, but in your heart. Understand that you're justified by faith alone. And the Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption.
Hallelujah.
And there are over 30 precise verses which clearly says when you're truly born again, that you're secure in Christ Jesus. That is very important because we can't earn our way to heaven. It is a free gift. But we do the best what we can out of appreciation because we love Jesus. We do it because we love the church. Because the Bible says the church is God's bride. And when we really understand what Jesus really have done for us, that he saved us from eternal hell, and when you read the description of Jesus, because he spoke more about hell than anyone else, when you understand the description, outer darkness, gnashing of teeth, completely the love of God is missing in this place. Should alone for what Jesus have done to save you from this awful place, you can praise God the rest of your life. Only because life is so fast moving, so busy, that we sometimes forget what we already have. You see, we can become that we always want more, more, more from God. But reality is we need to understand we have everything to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And in the moment we realize it, the more it will become applied in a very practical way in our life. You see, the Bible said we have everything what we need to live a godly life. But we need to apply it. We need to live it out. When the Bible said the two vehicles which God have chosen is first the word of God, that we need to read daily God's word to feed our spirit. And the second is Christian fellowship. You see, church is not only a place to pop in and pop out. Church is a place where your spiritual home is.
Amen.
You should see it as a privilege to come to a prayer meeting. As a privilege, because the reality is when you go to China, Iran, and other places, then people want to meet secretly for prayer. And they put their life on the line when they go to a prayer meeting. But still, they want. And the fastest growing church in the world today is in Iran, and in Sudan, and other places where severe persecution, because they realized what Christ have done for them. They are willing to pay the price. And we many times say, without pain or gain. Yeah. That means when we don't put things in, we don't get things out.
True.
You see, the Bible said salvation is free, it's only by grace. By holiness is more that what we put in, we get out. You see, when you spend more time in the Word than on the TV, then you get divine revelations.
Yeah.
You get supernatural power because God can entrust to you what the Spirit wants to give you. But when you only come to church and listen to the Bible, or never really open your Bible at home, or when you only pray maybe in the church or not have times set aside specific for prayer, when a good way to discipline yourself in prayer is to make a prayer book. Like I have a prayer book on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And for every day you pray for a different issue. Maybe one day you pray especially for the church and all the issues. Fridays is always a good day to pray for the Muslims and the Muslim world, because they go into the mosque and do all the religious things, that God give them dreams and visions.
Yeah.
And this year they say that over 5,000 Muslims had dreams and vision and came to know the Lord in Mecca alone.
Hallelujah.
And God is moving in a mighty way. Millions of Muslims are swept into the kingdom. We many times don't see it. We don't see it in the BBC or the other places. But you can find this information in places like Muslim Journey to Hope. It's on YouTube, Christian organization, which have video clips and dramatized to show how people were willing to pay the price to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes tremendous stories.
Yeah.
But we need to remember, nothing can be more important than to put God first in our life.
Sure.
And the Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all other things will be given to us.
Amen.
Or my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But that's a condition. You see, when you live like a devil and you only pop up on Sunday morning, then God will not entrust anything to you. And the Bible speaks very clear in Rome, where like in 1 Corinthians 5, he speaks about one person which lived amid his father's wife. And then the Bible said, please, I hand this person over to Satan, that his soul will be saved, but his body will be destroyed. Although you can see when you read later scripture, on the other hand, God is also a God of holiness.
Amen.
You see, many times people talk about Jesus, oh, he's my mate. But the reality is, he is a glorified Christ. He is my friend. He's my brother. But also, he is a glorified Jesus. That is a distinction.
Amen.
That we need to respect it in a holiness, in a way, in a respectful way. We need to remember, the Bible said also very clearly, without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Yes.
Although through this, we have to. And the Bible said very clearly that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from their sin.
Mm.
But the Bible also speaks clearly about it, that in the moment we put our trust in Jesus Christ alone, is someone in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone forever. The new is there. The Bible said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And when you have understanding that you have the security in Christ, when you have the understanding that you have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, then you can with boldness go. Because God knows when your number is up. You have supernatural protection. You have a bulletproof jacket around you. God is protecting you. God will bring manifestations of his spirit in your life. But as a condition, you have to live a different lifestyle than the world. And we need day by day the cleansing blood of Jesus. The Bible said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to understand, we are perfect before God in the moment we trust in Jesus, but we remain a sinner. We're in a sinful body. We have a sinful nature. And we will only be perfect when we're in heaven. And that is the reason why this Bible said that when we surrender our life to the Holy Spirit, he makes us more sensitive to sin, that is sinless, that we are able to overcome temptation, that we are able to overcome things which always try to pull us away from God. And the Bible said in the moment we surrender our life to Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed for the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, and we need to learn to cultivate this relationship. Because Jesus is now in heaven. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. That is his main ministry, to pray for us. That is what Jesus is. Jesus is next to the Father and intercede for us, the Bible said. That is his main ministry now. But the Holy Spirit is a person equal to the Father and the Son. He is in believers, and he is our teacher, our guide, and we need to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see, because when you would go to a party or see friends with your husband or with your wife, and the other person would always ignore your wife or your husband, you would be upset. And sometimes many Christians ignore the Holy Spirit. They talk about Jesus and the Father, but they ignore the Holy Spirit, and that will upset God because he's equal. Equal like Jesus and the Father. They have different positions, but they're equal in nature because they're all God. We believe in one God who revealed himself in three persons. And every of the person or of the Godhead have a different position. The Father received the worship, the Son brought salvation, and the Holy Spirit is now the agent in the church age from the time of Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, until the rapture and the church is taken out. The Holy Spirit is the main agent who will empower his people, who will teach them, and he is also the author of the scripture, and he will never tell you things or do things which would be contrary to his word. That's the reason why God said that the last word he spoke in his Son, Jesus Christ. But God is today speaking to us through a word of knowledge, through dreams and vision in line with scripture. Because not everything is very crystal clear in scripture. And that is the reason why we need a word of knowledge from God. We need wisdom in circumstances to make decisions. Is it about a job? Is it about the direction of the church? Is it about maybe which person you marry? Or whatever it is. That is where the Holy Spirit will give you a deep conviction in your heart what the right step is. And that is the reason why the Bible clearly encourages us that we really need to understand what it means, justification by faith alone. Luther said it this way: every week I preach justification by faith to my people, because every week they forget it. Yeah. And that is the same, right? We always really forget the good things. And we always think, oh, I want this, I want this. But when we praise God shown already for the things we have, then joy comes into our life. And then we will receive the other things. Because the Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. That anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And diligently mean you put some time in and study. And we live today probably in the most amazing days of history, where we can see God is soon wrapping up history. Prophecies unfolding in front of us. The things what we see in Iran is amazing things happen. And when you read the scripture, we know that the regime will fall. Because the Bible said before Ezekiel 38 and 39 can be fulfilled, that the Bible said before they invade the Russian Islamic invasion, Iran, Russia, Libya, and other countries, Israel will dwell in safety without walls. And as long as Iran is running around and creating havoc in the world and supporting all these different groups worldwide which want to destroy Israel, Israel can't live in peace and safety. The Bible said they live without walls and in peace before the invasion. And when they then later invade, God will deal with the problem and destroy them completely. And that will be probably the end of Islam after this. But we can see that prophecy is now falling into place. The players are now on the stage. We only wait for the curtain to open. And the question for us today is, do we have spiritual eyes to see what is happening in the world and what God said in his word? Because God told us history beforehand. We can know today what will happen. And the question for us today is, do we believe that the word of God is God's word? Amen. You see, a lot of people say the Bible only contains the word of God. But we believe the word is the word of God. Amen. And there's no mistakes in it. And then we can trust this word. We can see how the things play out. And that is a wonderful thing. Only we need a revelation from the Holy Spirit. When we read God's word, meditate on it, cry out to God to give us divine revelation that God will do it. And that is the reason is use the time you still have to drum the gospel. Like he was saying, you go and maybe talk to someone in the bus or in the train or you visit some friend or so. And then, by the way, have you ever read this? Or have you ever heard about Jesus? When people open up, people are hungry. And the amazing things what I can see in the last 2-3 months, really, in Bearwood, when I have the book table every week there, is that the age group between 16 to 24 are really open and asking for Bibles, asking questions. The young people are open. They want to know more. But they don't want religion. They want reality. That is very important. And like Pastor was saying on Thursday, there will be a shaking. And then it will show who is a true believer and who is not a true believer. Is your foundation in the word of God, in your justified by faith alone, and that God's love holds you together when you go through tough times, that you don't start to blame God, why God allows whatever. That is what you hear every week by open air. Although the Roman Catholic guy said, oh, how do you, Christianity is not true anymore, and oh, Catholic, and this kind of things, but how can God take this person, or why God allow so many bad things happen? And I said, you need to see in the light why God allows things, because many times we are rebelled against him. We live in a fallen world. At the moment, the Bible said the god of this world is Satan, that only those who believe in Christ are taken out. But soon, when Jesus comes back, he will reign in iron scepter for 1,000 years. And then he will clear out and deal with all the problems. And the question for you today is, are you born again? Are you justified by faith alone? Or do you try to earn your favor from God? That is really the question. When you know that you're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, then all other things will fall into place. Because then the Bible said we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will speak to us. When we read this text, you can maybe meditate this week more on it, what it really means, the righteousness of God. And there is no other way to the Father except through Christ. That is very important to understand, because most people said, oh, they have their belief, we have our belief, they have their God, we have our God, and they try their best. The Bible said no, because they don't understand the holiness of God, and they don't understand the ugliness of sin. And what did God cost, that God left heaven, came through the virgin birth into this world, lived a perfect life, but more, he went for your and my sin to the cross. When you read the story in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was crying, because it was not only the pain, sondern the Father needed to turn his faith away when the sin of the whole world was laid on him. And that is the reason was because he was whole man and whole God, Jesus. And we can't comprehend it, but it cost everything to God to save us. And when we understand this, then we know that you will not come any other way to heaven. And I finish with this verse where the Bible said, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way to the Father except through me. Thank you for listening.